If you would turn with me in your pew Bible this morning, it is the Old Testament lesson, Genesis, the 18th chapter, and I want to read verses 20 through 32. Genesis 18, verses 20 through 32, found on page 14 in your pew Bible. Will you hear these words? So men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteousness fare as the wicked. Far be it that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of the 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30. He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I just speak once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Persistence in prayer. Persistence in prayer. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our redeemer. The people of God say, Amen. It was the great preacher Dwight L. Moody who wrote, "I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher." For Jesus Christ never taught his disciples how to preach, but only how to pray. Jesus was concerned about all of the examples the disciples had of prayer. For there was the example of the person who would go on, and it seemed as if they were more interested in hearing themselves than to really entering into the presence of God. And that is what Jesus would invite the disciples to do. For Jesus taught, when you pray, say, "Our Father." Now I recognize that some of my colleagues in ministry are not comfortable with the reference of Father, fearful that it leads into too many male images. I have also had the experience of teaching children who never knew their father. And what they knew did not lend itself to one who was kind and loving. So I have come to think of these words, "Our Father," as Jesus calling us into the presence of the holy and the divine. And that is what we are seeking in prayer. To know that God of creation, remember how Revelation speaks of God as the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. We sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, there is none beside thee." Jesus taught us to pray. And then there are so many lessons that come from prayer. There are so many ways in which we pray. For some, it is long periods of quietness, that walk in the park, the use of the upper room. Some have a pattern to begin the day with prayer. Or some have the pattern to end the day with prayer. Jesus taught us to pray. I wanted to step out this morning and say that as a part of our prayer life, we must be persistent in prayer. I believe this is different than being stubborn in prayer, or the attitude that we sometimes can take with each other. You know, my way or else. Persistence in prayer is different than this. For there is something in our relationship with God that allows us to seek God, to search and discern the will of God, and then to wait on God. Look at Abraham in chapter 18. "For this is about God's judgment. The verdict is in, and God has announced that Sodom and Gomorrah will be destroyed." Many have concluded that it was social injustice. Social injustice was the greatest sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, for they were such a rich nation. But they were known for their mistreatment of others. They did not help the poor or the needy. And yes, they forgot what one writer described as God being present in every sphere of life. God being present in every aspect of life. Judgment and salvation. Judgment and salvation. Abraham knew God. And in the midst of God's judgment, Abraham comes and owns his unworthiness. But Abraham brings his prayer, and with his prayer, he brings his petition and says to God, "You will not destroy the righteous with the wicked." This is the power of relationship. That Abraham in prayer is able to bargain with God. I've always loved this portion of Scripture. "You will not destroy the city if I can find 50 there. You would not destroy the city if I could find 45 there." And God says, "No, I will not destroy it if we can find 50 and then 45. And Abraham says, "You know, I'm very weak, but what about 40? If we could just find 40 there." God says, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 40. I have always pictured in my mind Abraham scratching his head and saying, "You know, we're talking about Sodom. What if I can find 30 there? What if I can find 30 there? What if I can find 20? What if I can find just 10? God says, "I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Abraham, able to plead and persist in prayer on behalf of the people. You know, I have been reading Dan Kimball's book, The Emerging Church. And he made a point that I wanted to risk and share with you this morning. I know where the back door is, so I can feel free in risking and sharing this morning. But he raised the point that it seems that in every context today, someone is saying, "God bless America." And I thought about that, and I hear it, politicians closing their speeches. You hear it in contemporary songs. You hear it. It just seems like you just hear it in all kinds of places. I even heard it in rap music. You hear it in all kinds of places and in all kinds of settings. But Kimball raised in his book something that I wanted us to think about. That if the heavens were to roll back at this moment, would God bless America? Would God bless America? This is where we, as the people of faith, come in. We are the Abrahams of our day. Not from a self-righteous point of view, but as people who are in relationship with God. People who are humble in their prayers. People who know that we have received the gift of salvation. This is then what we ask and what we seek for others. We can pray. Edward Everett Hale was chaplain of the United States Senate. And someone asked him on one occasion, "Dr. Hale, do you pray for the senators?" He responded, "No, I look at the senators and I pray for the country." We can pray today. But within our prayers, we must be persistent in prayer. As a part of Jesus teaching the disciples to pray, he said to them, I want you to ask. I want you to ask. I want you to seek. I want you to seek. And I want you to knock. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock. And the doors will be open to you. We can pray today. We can pray with persistent prayers, and we will discover that our God is filled with grace. In every time of need, in every desire that we might share, our God is filled with grace. Praise God today. Praise God. And let us be a people of persistent prayer. Amen and amen.